Welcome to Building Great Leaders with Dr. Les Olala.
Wrong things begin with a single thought. You end up doing a wrong thing involving wrong activities, and it starts with a single thought.
On today's program, Dr. Olala focuses our attention on what the scripture says about how we can wake up and die right. This message was recorded at a college chapel service in 2007. Building Great Leaders provides instruction, encouragement, and resources for Christian leaders. You can learn more at bgleaders.org, bgleaders.org. Our speaker, Dr. Les Olala, is the founder and director of Building Great Leaders and has been serving the Lord in full-time ministry for 50 years as a pastor, Bible college president, and evangelist. And now, wake up and die right.
Let's turn to Romans chapter 13. Romans chapter 13 and verse 11, and that knowing the time, underscore that phrase in your mind, knowing the time that now it is high time to awake out of sleep. For now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness and let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk honestly as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and envy, but put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill it in the lust thereof. I remember, and probably you've heard this phrase many times also, when we were growing up, either an adult would say it to someone or we would say it to someone who we thought was pinheading, we would say, wake up and die right. In other words, wake up and start thinking and go back to what you ought to be doing. So where's that phrase, wake up and die right? And that phrase was in my head. You know, Paul was really saying this. It's time to wake up because of the nearness of the Lord's coming when we will be standing before Him. So awake out of sleep. The Encyclopedia Britannica, here's how it defines sleep: a state of inactivity with a loss of consciousness and a decrease in responsiveness to events taking place. In 1 Chronicles chapter 12 and verse 32, let me read this verse regarding David's men. And the children of Issachar, which were men that had understanding of the times. They had wisdom for the present. They had understanding for what was coming in the future. And I thought, if we're training a generation, what a need that we would have children in that state who were people of understanding of the times to know what Israel ought to do. The heads of them were 200, and all their brethren were at their command. But they were men of understanding of the times. And that knowing the time, Paul says, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep. There were three things by way of introduction. One, he said, the hour is already at hand. It is high time to awake out of sleep. In other words, that hour is now. Our salvation is nearer than when we were saved. We are closer to meeting the Lord than when we were first born again. And then the night, that is this age of darkness, is well advanced. We live in wicked times. When Paul started the book of Romans, he spoke in chapter 1 of the times of his age, a time when deity was being eliminated, truth was being abolished, men were being deified, sin was being justified, and death was being proliferated. That's just a little capsule of chapter 1 of the times in which he lived. And when we look at our society today, we are in a decline in culture. When there is a decline in culture, it is in direct proportion to the rejection of Christ. And when you look at a radical rejection of Christ, you see a rapid decline in culture. Radical rejection of Christ equals rapid decline in culture. But we are to be salt and light. Paul was writing to the Romans and writing to Corinthians. He said, hey, because we are in this situation, in this culture, in this time, because we are in this situation, you ought to know that time. Wake up. And let's get living the way we ought to live. The problem is, I don't think many Christians of this era really understand how evil the times really are, because we are getting more and more able to enjoy the benefits of the times. And we don't really see times as evil. Those of us in the United States, not so from some of your other cultures. But I want to look at 4 points tonight quickly. But I want to take this idea of knowing the time. There are two words for time in the scriptures. One is chronos. That's a chronological line. I'm going to use that for the semester. In other words, the chronos is the semester. That is a period of time that we are going to be dealing with. And then there's kairos, which is a word that is used in this particular passage. And where chronos is a period, I would distinguish kairos as having privilege and priority of how you're going to use that period of time. In other words, knowing the times, we have an existential moment of opportunity. This semester is a moment of opportunity for you in this chronos, in this length of time. You're beginning this semester tonight. And at commencement, the semester will be over. But the question is, how will we have lived that period of time with the privilege and with the priorities that were given to us? And Paul is telling them, because of your Christian light, you have a privilege, but you also have priorities that have to be maintained as you live this Christian life. So I just picked the word appropriate. So first of all, there is an appropriate response to the alarm that Paul says, wake up, wake out of sleep. Paul told the Corinthians in chapter 15, wake up to righteousness and stop sinning, for some have not the knowledge of God. I speak this to your shame. There was a response to the alarm, the wake-up call. Maybe you entered campus this day or day before, and maybe you are really dull, maybe carrying a lot of baggage, and you're really in the category of inactivity with loss of consciousness and a decrease in responsiveness to events that are about to take place this semester. You're in a spiritual slumber. Secondly, there is an appeal for appropriate clothing. The night is far spent. In other words, we are well approaching the end of this age of darkness. We are coming very close to this time when this darkness will end and we will be in the Lord's presence. And that time began at Pentecost and will end at the rapture. And here we find that we are instructed, as we look in verse 12, the night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness and let us put on the armor of light. So put off the works of darkness. That is, in other words, time to take off the night clothes and start getting ready for the light. John 3:19, they will not come to the light, Jesus said, lest their deeds should be reproved, because they are loving the light. Therefore, they will not come to the light, because their works are works of darkness. We see that very same challenge in Ephesians chapter 5, where Paul is challenging the Ephesians before he goes into the passage, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Almost an identical challenge to the Ephesian church regarding this matter of living in holiness and properly utilizing the time that is given to us. And so we put off the works of darkness and then put on the armor of light. In other words, we have to have an appropriate dress for war. Those who are going into soldiery know what it is to have their equipment given to them, and then the clothing that will be given to them, and then the helmets that will be given to them. In Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10 and following, they're speaking of putting on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand against the blast, the wiles of the devil, and the breastplate of salvation, of righteousness, the helmet of salvation, feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Everything is for incoming rounds, but then there's the offensive weaponry of the sword of the Lord. And we are to put on. And this context is not adornment. That is this, put off the night clothes and adorn yourself in clothes. The whole idea here is protection. The context is picturing that this clothing of what we're putting on is in the context of being protected in this wicked age. Spirit of God will convict your heart on what is darkness in your heart. What darkness has entered? In Matthew chapter 6 speaks, how great is that darkness? If thine eye be full of darkness, how great is that darkness? In other words, all you can see, all you can think is the darkness. And ask yourself this question, God, as I was home for 4 weeks and 5 weeks, what darkness became a part? And what things did I allow into my heart that were a grief, and I quenched and grieved the Holy Spirit? Well, tonight I'm saying put off those night clothes. The day is at hand. Put on the armor of light. Thirdly, appropriate behavior. Verse 13, let us walk honestly. Now we see the challenges as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and envy. So we see there is a right response to the alarm. There is a right response in the command to put the night clothes off and put on your battle clothes and walk in light. Now we see the appropriate behavior, and we see a negative and a positive in this behavior. He said, let us walk honestly as in the day. Then he gives a listing, not in. And then he gives three categories. One, he's having to do with actions. The other, with activities that come out of those actions. Then third, attitudes. And these three sin categories that he divides up in rioting and drunkenness, that's actions taking place, chambering and wantonness, the activities that are practiced on a regular basis. And then he adds, interestingly enough, strife and envy, which he adds the attitude sins to these darkness deeds that need to be put off. So he said, let us walk honestly as in the day. Negatively, how have you walked? Three things I listed we need to watch. Friends, 1 Corinthians 15, 33 and 34. Be not deceived, evil friendships defile good manners. And you had better pick very carefully your friends. But the problem is, friends normally find those in their same categories. Remember when we used to take kids to camp, I called it rebel radar. Buses would unload, and the rebels would have found themselves within about 30 minutes. They'd get on their rebel CBs, break 19. Any rebels? Yeah, you got a rebel, come back. Well, meet me in front of the dining hall. Next thing you know, they've clustered. One of the most amazing things, how could they find each other so quickly? Rebel radar with satanic assistance. Watch your friendships. Be not deceived. Evil friendships corrupt good morals. Don't be afraid to risk being accepted by saying, I am not playing your games. Don't walk in these sin categories. Don't walk in these categories. Then watch your focus. Verse 14, that's where I will end tonight in just a moment. But put on the Lord Jesus Christ. There's a contrast. The negative is what should we be watching? So the friendships, watch for that this semester. Say, God, give me a friend who has a heart for you. And if you are here and you are a friend of someone, but your friendship is not enhancing that person in his spiritual growth, go away somewhere alone tonight and repent and put off those works of darkness. Put off those night clothes and come out of that closet dressed with armor to go into battle, to go against the real enemy. Watch your friends. Watch the flesh. You can't trust it. And watch your focus. Now, what of these rioting and drunkenness? You know, this is quite interesting, this idea of rioting and drunkenness, this komos, that's the idea of partying, this mentality, everything has to be a party. See the same listing in Galatians chapter 5, 1 Peter chapter 4, Galatians 5, 19 through 21. Said none of these things ought to be present in the life of a professing believer. They should not be in the life. Chambering and wantedness. Now, there is, from which we get the word pornography, porneia, but that's not the word here. It's koite, which equals bed. And what this is saying here, not in chambering and wantedness, not in that which would be moral irresponsibility that would cause to go contrary to Hebrews 13:4, marriage is honorable and all, the bed undefiled, but adulterers and whoremongers God will judge. That's the word that's used here. Literally, going to bed with someone is what this koite means. And wantedness. And I was interested when I saw this. I looked this up from another angle at that word. And an absence of restraint or shamelessness. Not only living this way, but wantonness. That is, in other words, there's a completely casting off of restraint. I will not be brought under restraint. And when you study these categories, you say, oh God, negatively, let me make sure I walk honestly, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness. And to some, this wantonness becomes a badge. You suddenly become known as the one who is a no-rule person, and you are the one who is doing a cast-off restraints, but you're just a little bit subtle. And then strife and envy, where you get into the jealousies. Isn't it interesting that jealousy is put in the same category with these, going to bed with someone? God doesn't take your jealousy lightly either. And God doesn't take your gossip lightly either. Say amen or oh me. Boy, we love to talk about someone's immorality, don't we? But what about this? What about this tongue? Don't forget, every idle word will be brought into judgment. So be careful. Now, what positive? But put on the Lord Jesus Christ. In other words, your conduct should reflect your new allegiance. You are Christ. You are owned by Him. And consequently, you put on the Lord Jesus Christ. So what a challenge this is. And then there was an appropriate, because I've already used the word focus, I'll call it preoccupation. An appropriate preoccupation, Romans 13:14, but put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. The soldier has something on between his body and the external armor. And that's the picture here that is literally be clothed in Christ. This is your justification. This is the sanctification work that is going on in your heart. You have become a new creation in Christ Jesus, according to 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 17. And that soldier then, in that covering that enwraps him, and then the external defensive weaponry is placed over that as you are in Christ, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ. When you are saved, you are in Christ. And you put your faith on Christ. You rested on Him. Now you are in Christ. And as you are in Him, you'll realize that salvation is near. 1 John chapter 3 and verse 1 talks about he who has this hope in him, that is the hope of this coming of Christ, will purify himself even as he is pure. In other words, the realization that your salvation is near and that you are in Christ will cause you to live a purified life. And then secondly, we have no right to sleep. We don't have any business sleeping in the context of this chapter. In other words, going in those night actions and in those night activities and having that sleep mentality. Why? Because we know that we have a task that is very much at hand. Charles Haddon Spurgeon, I saw an article that he had written on these five wise virgins. When the five wise virgins went out to meet the bridegroom, this is Spurgeon, and took their lamps with them, what right had they to be asleep? I can very well understand the sleeping of those who had no oil in their vessel, because when their lamps went out, they were in darkness, and the darkness suggests sleep. But those who had their lamps well trimmed, should they go to sleep in the light? Those that had oil should not go to sleep while the oil was illuminating them. They need to be awake and put the oil in the lamp. Besides, they had come out to meet the bridegroom. Could they meet him asleep? When he should come, would it be fit that he should find those attending his wedding all asleep in a row, insulting his dignity and treating his glory with scorn? Remember, we are the bride of Christ. He is coming. Are we looking for his coming, or are we so in love with the world that we have to come under the condemnation of James when he says, "What? No, ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of this world is enmity with God? Whosoever would be the friend of the world is the enemy of God." The bride should be awaiting anxiously, not sleeping, anticipating the bridegroom's arrival, the trumpet sound. Should cause us to live in such a state of anticipation that we have no right to be asleep awaiting the Lord's coming. I have done a lot of weddings, and I've never yet, I hope it never happens, but say the bride is coming down the aisle, and I'm in the back with the groomsmen and with the groom. So I come out with the leading, and then the groom follows, and then the groomsmen, and then the organ starts, and then the congregation rises, and everybody turns back to look at the bride, and the bride starts her march down the aisle. Now, what if while that bride coming down that aisle were walking, then she'd see Harold, call me later. Jim, I didn't know you came. Give me a buzz. And the groom's standing down there, and she's flirting with all of her old flames. And I think maybe that's why they have so many candles at these weddings. Maybe they're all of her old flames. And then she finally gets down to the front. And then she won't look because she keeps looking around at her old relationships. And then the pastor says, "Honey, look this way. No, look at the groom," trying to be discreet. "Look at the groom." And finally, said, "Could one of our deacons come and hold this lady's head straight so that," because she turned like one of these bobbleheads. You turn and it goes like that, and turn it back and it goes like that. That's the picture of a believer who should be watching, looking at the groom as she is anticipating that relationship. And I hope as we begin this semester, we will have such a passion. That's why I call it an appropriate preoccupation with what the Lordship of Jesus Christ in our lives. May we love Him supremely. May we be grieved at the thought of being a heartbreak by that which we allow into our lives. And last of all, we have an enemy who is awake and working 24/7. You remember that in Matthew 13, it says, while they slept, the enemy went out and sowed tares. We have realized we have an enemy who doesn't sleep, who is not in this dull state of inactivity, very conscious of what is happening around. And then last of all, why should we have this appropriate preoccupation? Because we have something worth living for. We have a mission. We are preparing servant leaders for Great Commission living. So therefore, make no provision. Put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make not provision for the flesh. The word provision is not, I am gathering things up. The word provision is forethought. Wrong things begin with a single thought. That's what that provision is. You end up doing a wrong thing involved in wrong activities, and it starts with a single thought. It starts with that forethought, that provision that should not be made. And James chapter 1, 14 and 15 would support that. So as you begin this semester, realize this. You have something worth living for. You have the mission to glorify God, to submit to the Lordship of Jesus Christ in your life. Because every corruption has a voice. And that voice will whisper. And the whisper becomes a thought, and the thought becomes an action. And you will find yourself planning and making provision for that which will lead you away from His Lordship in your life and end up going back to sleep in darkness activities. So as you look at the semester, we have the timeline called a semester. But how are you going to handle the privileges and the priorities of that semester? Knowing the time, it is high time to wake up and be clothed, behave, and have such a preoccupation with your master that the very thought of grieving him would be a grief to you.
Thank you for joining us for Building Great Leaders today. Dr. Les Olala presenting Wake Up and Die Right. This program is a ministry of Building Great Leaders, providing instruction, encouragement, and resources for Christian leaders, and is produced by Harvest Ministries on Guam. You can learn more at bgleaders.org, bgleaders.org. Join us again for more teaching from the Word of God next time on Building Great Leaders.